Yes, yes, please.
Speak, yes, yes. So first of all, good afternoon, and thanks again for the hospitality. I think it has been 2 months since my previous visit, and the previous visit, I think, was very important, especially because we had a visit of the families of the abductees, and I appreciate your hospitality. They appreciated very, very much meeting you, and had a very intensive program in Malta. Based on their visit here, I managed to convince the Slovenians, which are my second destination, to have similar delegation to Slovenia. And I think it's very important because it's, as I mentioned before, it's a political message, and the human dimension, the moral dimension was very important. I also understood that they met, as you remember, the Prime Minister, and I think he was very moved by meeting them, and later on when he was in Brussels, I understood also he mentioned it to the conference, to the people in the council, other prime ministers, and also to the media. And I think using also the role of Malta as member of Security Council, the OEC, and the EU was important in that context. And not always we are fortunate, especially during time of war, not us and not the Palestinians, of having good news, but the good news that one of the participants was the aunt of a lady named Noah, which was one of the abductees, and she was released, and I'm sure you followed the news from our region, and she on an operation of the IDF, and she was reunited with her parents. Her mother is very sick, so she managed to see her mother, Chinese origin, when she was out of the Hamas captivity. So again, thank you for the visit.
Stop you for a moment. There is a journalist who wishes to take two photos of this meeting. For
as you wish. What is it?
It is being streamed.
Okay. So
we're streaming.
So the public
obviously for public transparency. Right. Yes.
Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Please.
So, thanks again for the hospitality and for being able to come. I think I mentioned a few times during my visits to Malta the importance that I attach to the relation between parliaments. With all the respect to government, which I am representative of, I think in a strong democracy, the parliament has a very important, crucial role. I met yesterday the Speaker of the Parliament, and in our short meeting we highlighted also the importance of connection between Parliament, and we agreed of the importance of renewal of relaunching the Friendship League engagement, both in the Knesset and in the Maltese Parliament. I think it will be, in my opinion, very important to try to create good contact or engagement between you and parallel committee. It's not exactly parallel because you is foreign affairs and European, in our case it's foreign affairs and defense. But to have the communication by Zoom, by visits, by meetings, whatever will be agreed between you and your colleagues in the Knesset. So if you want me to help it, to facilitate it, let me know. I will be more than happy to do it because I think it is really crucial role, and also mutual visits in Israel and in Malta is of utmost importance. If you want, I can start with first of all, as we always do, let's do it interactive.
Yes.
I don't like to lecture things, and all that, so I will be more than happy to relate to your questions and your deliberations, but maybe I will say a few introductory remarks. I think, and based on our previous meetings, the relation between Israel and Malta on government level, parliament level, and people-to-people level are very good. Being friends doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything, and being friend of Israel doesn't mean that you cannot be friend of the Palestinians and other neighbors that we have in the Middle East. And not, in my opinion, at least, it's not mutually exclusive. Unfortunately, since 7th of October, we are under attack. We have been harshly attacked by the Hamas on the 7th of October. We discussed it in previous meeting. And I appreciate the position, strong position that was taken by your parliament, by your committee, immediately after the terrorist attack of the 7th of October. 8 months passed already, and none of us wants to be in a situation of war, because as I think the suffering is to both sides. There were casualties, a lot of casualties on our side, and also a lot of casualties on the other side. And I think I mentioned it last time, in the Jewish tradition, you lose one soul, you lose the universe, and it's valid not only to the Jewish side. If I'm looking today in the region of the Middle East, the situation is very fragile and close to even to possible escalation. Unfortunately, it's not only between Israel and the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, but it also relates to the other fronts that we are facing. And I think the most imminent threat which we are facing now is the northern border of Israel, on the Lebanese border. It's not very well known, but 80,000 Israelis were forced to evacuate from their places near the border, 5-6 kilometers from the border. It was taken by us, our government, as a preventive measure, but probably it was the right step to take, because otherwise they will be killed or would be targeted by the Hezbollah, which they did, but most of the places were vacant. And there were a lot of casualties in both sides, but Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, and maybe it's different between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza, that Hezbollah is based on a sovereign state of Lebanon. And I think the Lebanese government, the Lebanese people, the Lebanese themselves are being hostage by the Hezbollah, which is being supported and militarily, logistically, and training, etc., by Iran. And just before coming here, I read the latest updates. I mean, you don't have to read intelligence information to know that Iran is using the situation to get closer than ever to the military nuclear capability. A military nuclear capability by Iran will be, for us, existential threat. But not only to us. It will be a threat to the members of the moderate Arab partners, states in the Gulf countries, and also to other Arab countries in the region. It will be a threat to the Western community, because Iranian missile is covering not only Israel, it's covering parts of Europe. If one checks exactly, I think it also can reach Malta. Not that Malta, fortunately, is on the target list, but nobody can exclude anything. So I think if there is an important message that I would, in the name of the Israeli government, Israeli people, that Malta is a very important member of Security Council, international community, European Union, and will be a strong voice advocating that Iran should be controlled. Controlling means in the IAEA context, also in especially in the Security Council. If the board of the IAEA that just recently agreed on very strong resolution against Iran will be able to bring the issue also to the Security Council, I think Malta could play a role in that as well. And I think since you have also your soldiers in UNIFIL on the border between Israel and Nepal, it's also that your responsible message, balanced message, will be very clear and loud in the discussion in the international arena and especially in the Security Council. I will stop here and then I can relate to other topics.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Obviously, this committee adopts an open door policy. We're here to listen. However, I have to show my concern about the situation. I mean, since the last time we met, the situation has become increasingly complex and obviously with more loss of civilian lives. So that is something which is, I'm sure that my colleagues is of great concern to their situation. So we would like to hear more about what's next in the sense of ensuring that the area will have more peace, stability, and obviously a future of prosperity and opportunities too, especially to the youths in the area, which obviously we, with the perduration of the situation, we are losing the region. The world is losing a generation of youths that are striving to survive, not to progress in their life. So that is a big concern for us. As to, obviously, I believe it's a bit the elephant in the room with regards to our situation with regards to the two-state solution. I mean, our situation, as I reiterated in our last meeting, has been consistent for decades now, that we were the pioneers of the situation. We believe that it is the ultimate solution, the solution, the permanent solution, not only for the Palestinians, but also for your country, in the sense that they can coexist in a situation of symbiosis and a symbiotic relationship of beneficial coexistence to both. And we still believe, and then I will leave the word to my colleagues as well, we still believe that this will be the best solution for the region, not only, and I reiterate, for the Palestinians, but even for the Israelites not, obviously, to have a repetition of what happened in the 7th October of last year as well, which is something of a national trauma for the Israeli people as well. So in a nutshell, and without sort of elaborating, that is our my colleagues will continue on. Obviously I'm sure that they have what to contribute to this meeting, but in a nutshell, this is the position of this committee. Dr. Beppe Fenekadam,
you want me to relate it after?
Obviously, you listen to all the members of the committee.
I think we might as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much again for this.
Thank you so much, and welcome once again in this committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee of this Parliament of Malta. If I had to make a personal judgment, I think that the situation today is a bit more pessimistic than it were 2 months ago when we went last. 2 months ago, there were, I think, diplomatic efforts which were looking positive. I think there was much more activity towards trying to reach towards a diplomatic solution to the crisis which erupted in October, which is a consequence of long years of problems and, I would say, difficulties in the region. We obviously observe what is happening in Lebanon and that the realistic threat of Hezbollah and a bigger threat of Iran, which is now publicly stating that it is pursuing the nuclear option, the nuclear option of arming itself with nuclear weapons. Obviously, we are preoccupied as well with what is happening in Gaza, especially in Rafah. I say preoccupied because I read some preparation for this meeting, and it seems that the situation at the very moment is that 36,000 deaths down the line, the official figures coming out from, I correct me if I'm wrong, from government officials, Israeli government officials, is that it is half the Hamas militants which have been eliminated to date. So it's 36,000 deaths, mostly civilian, mostly children on the one side, and it seems that we are still halfway through towards the elimination of the real culprits of the tragedy of October of last year. Because I reiterate, the culprits of the attacks is a terrorist group, which is Hamas, and not unfortunately that the many young children, many young civilians, many civilians have been killed down the line. We obviously, I also observe the internal strife within the Israeli state, which I think is starting to complicate matters as well on that front. So I would like, I understand your position as ambassador, but evidently there is this internal tension between the various factions within the government and even in the political arena, which I think is also playing an important role and is a determining factor as to where this war is going and when this war will end. So I would like to hear from you about the diplomatic efforts which are taking place at the moment. I think now when you read the international media, the news at the moment, I think it seems to be very, very pessimistic. The hope of a permanent ceasefire seems to be so far away, probably the furthest it has ever been since the beginning of this conflict. So I would like you to elaborate on what are the prospects of a diplomatic solution rather than a prolonged war, which, as I said, has already left more than 30,000 victims, most of which innocent civilians, and a situation where Hamas seems to be still in control of various SWATs in Gaza, and the reality of Hezbollah, which has become a real threat to Israel, and I would also say to world peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Fanek Adami. Honourable Mario De Marco.
I'm not sure to write for my report, but other than I think the old legend that violence beats violence we are witnessing today. It is unfortunate that I think that despite various efforts, various treaties from leaders from both sides of the political territorial fence, after the Oslo Accord, unfortunately nothing really concrete we have seen in terms of results, in terms of a lasting peace. A lasting peace seems to be something very, very distant. I think it's very easy for us in the comfort of our room, thousands of miles away, perhaps to point fingers towards any side, but the reality is the reality. I don't think any side is closer to peace, neither the Palestinian side, nor the Jewish side, nor the Israeli side. And I think that beyond governments, beyond authorities, beyond regimes, beyond groups, beyond militias. We seem to forget the ordinary individual citizen who has no political affiliation other than a desire to live in peace. And I think the biggest victim of all this is the good-wishing ordinary citizen, whether he is Israeli, whether he is Jewish, whether he is Zionist, whether he is Muslim, whether he is Palestinian, whether he is Christian. And obviously, when you have this happening, everything spirals out of control. And it's not only a country which is spiraling out of control, it's a whole region which regrettably is now spiraling out of control. And you get the powers that be, like Iran, who capitalize on these situations, which keep on and then proliferating. So my appeal to the Jewish people is that you're a people who have suffered a lot towards history. And suffering also brings enormous responsibilities. And the Jewish people who have suffered poverty more than any other people have an enormous responsibility to ensure that upper people do not suffer either. And so beyond what we are witnessing in Gaza, and I think we are all saddened by what we are seeing in Gaza, just as we are saddened by what we saw on the 7th of October, we unconditionally condemn that. But equally tragic is what is happening today in Gaza. But equally tragic is what unfortunately is happening also on the West Bank, because too often we hear about what's happening in Gaza and we ignore what's happening on the West Bank. And ultimately the West Bank is not Hamas. But yet there are victims happening every day in the West Bank as well. And obviously that does not augur well. Now, again, when we come to an issue of a two-state solution, it's not only whether all the Palestinians want a two-state solution or not, but it's also whether the Israeli people want a two-state solution or not. And I think rather than putting it unfairly on whether the Israeli people want a two-state solution or not, is whether the Israeli government wants a two-state solution or not. Because sometimes between what we hear from the government and what we hear from the people, you can be hearing two different things. And unfortunately what we've seen in the past doesn't augur too well for a two-state solution. And the declarations we hear from the Israeli government is that a two-state solution is no solution. But I think if we have to look beyond governments and beyond rhetoric, the only solution is two-state. And the only lasting solution is two-state. And the only lasting solution is an understanding between the people. And I'm saddened because as much as I know Palestinian people, I know Israeli people. And I know that beyond politics and beyond governments and beyond coalitions, people just simply want to live in peace. And I think we are shortchanging all these people. And ultimately, who are the victims? It's not Hamas. It's not the Netanyahu government. It's the people on the ground. And I think we have a big responsibility towards those people. You, Ambassador, you represent a government, you represent a state, but ultimately you represent the people beyond the government that may have appointed you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable DeMarco. Please, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, and I will try to relate to you very important intervention. First of all, I think I mentioned it before, I had the privilege to work with the late Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, which was deeply committed for the sake of peace and was assassinated by Israeli terrorists. And so I know a little bit about the importance of peace, commitment to peace, and I think I said it very clearly. I think, at least in my opinion, it doesn't matter which part of the political spectrum you are in Israel, there is a very strong will, not always it's clear, and wish to have peace with our neighbors. I mean, none of us has predicted the 7th of October massacre. It's not something that we were behind or thought about it. We were completely surprised, militarily, intelligence, everybody, which is our failure. And each country has the right to defend its people. It's not something which is undeniable. Yes, we, every country that defending its people need to do it according to the international law, international humanitarian law, to be as distinguished as necessary according to the international law, not to our civilians. There are numbers, statistics. I mean, as I said, each soul, each casualty is dear to everybody. But I think also the numbers that are being flowed up, most of them are coming from Hamas sources. And the ratio between civilians and terrorists is not highly mentioned. At least 15,000 of those who were killed were Hamas terrorists. It's important to take a notion, and if you make comparison to other conflicts, wars that happened in the last generations, I don't think that our way of dealing with these terrorist attacks will be in the lowest denominator. I think that the commitment for peace is strong also not by the government but also by the people of Israel. Each of us during the last war lost a good friend of him, a brother or member of his family. In my city, Modi'in, 20 youngsters lost their life. Every few days you have a funeral going, and I am lucky and you are lucky that it doesn't happen here, but you could imagine very clearly that if, God forbid, you will be attacked, I hope not, from Libya, from Tunis, from anybody else, you will have to defend yourself. No, you are neutral. You have the privilege to be neutral. We don't have the privilege to be neutral. Because we have to defend. You mentioned the Holocaust, and I think nobody, no nation lost 6 million of its people. And I'm sure in this room there is no doubt that it's unprecedented. Shoah is unprecedented, and I don't think, and I hope it will never. And one of the lessons and legacies, never again. So when the State of Israel was established in 1948, I think it's very clear that for us, we had to do our best and not to rely on anybody, even the best allies, when we come to defend of our nations, and that we did. There were two Jewish jurists which established the word genocide based on the Holocaust legacy, and to hear in the international community from South Africa and other blaming Israel for genocide, I think it's outrageous. To say, unfortunately, I do share some of your pessimistic observation, and again I speak as a human being. A daughter of a good friend of mine was massacred on the 7th of October in the party, Nova Party. She was 28 years old, and she was butchered by the Hamas terrorists. They are not accepted, they are not coping with any legal norms. I think they are in completely different magnitude, completely different world. And as I said, I don't expect any friend of us to defend us blindly. Surely not. You have all the right to criticize us, and we have sometimes things that mistakes that have been made. But I think, in my opinion, private opinion, to doubt our commitment for peace, the people's commitment to peace, I don't think it's a reality. I mean, you said everybody wants peace. We are the first, and our neighbors, Palestinians, want peace as well. And as I said, when I worked with late Prime Minister Rabin, I was sitting with guests from abroad, and the military secretary entered the room and came with a small note. And Rabin read the note, another suiciding attack by the Hamas in the middle of Tel Aviv. Buses were exploded. Rabin left immediately the meeting and went, endangering himself, to the place where the terrorist attack happened. Israel is strong democracy. And the fact that you mentioned strife, I think I would not use this word, but surely the fact that there were in the last weekend and the weekend before demonstrations of thousands of people in front of the Prime Minister residence in Jerusalem, in the center of Tel Aviv, is also shows the strength of our democracy. I am a civil servant. I am not allowed to participate in any of these activities, and I'm not going to share with you what I would do if I will without my suit. But still, it's something which I think proves that in the end of the day, the Israeli democracy will win. And I think, as I said, no doubt about the will of the people and to live in peace with our neighbors. And we didn't choose our neighbors. We came back to our chosen land. And if the arrangement or the agreement that was reached, hopefully, between the two people will be two-state solution or be any kind of other peace solution, it's up to the direct side of the conflict to come to this agreement. There are, in some countries in Europe, discussions, some of them even taken a decision recently, to bring a solution or to at least to try to force a unilateral arrangement, a unilateral dictate, and I am talking about unilateral recognition of Palestinian state. Now, we can discuss it for hours, whether the Palestinians are coping with the parameter of a state or not, whether it's the right thing to do, and that's right. That's not my message today. Is I'm coming here, as you said, as ambassador of the State of Israel. And for me, as ambassador of the State of Israel to Malta, what is dear to me, firstly, is our bilateral relations. And our bilateral relations, I met today the Minister of Energy, I met yesterday the Minister of Interior, and I met your Foreign Ministry, and I met the Speaker of the Parliament, as I mentioned, I think. At the end of the day, the people of Malta and Israel and the state of Malta and Israel are friendly countries. And although not always we agree on everything, I think we should cherish our bilateral relations. And why I'm saying in the context of recognition, because if you read the Israeli media, and I saw all of you reading the media from both sides of the spectrum in the Middle East, yesterday or the day before, so there was an article report on the Israeli media. Again, I don't have a weight. I was here when it was published and cannot verify it, but it was kind of leak from the cabinet session in Israel discussing the issue of recognition, unilateral recognition. Three members of the European Union decided recently to recognize the state of Palestine. So one of them is the other state of mine, Slovenia. So I can say that I was failing in Slovenia to convince them that it's not the right step to do at that point of time. And it's also there, like here, my message, again, I'm not going every... You have all the right to take your sovereign decision about these issues and other issues. I'm, for me, and I think for you as well, relations are dear. And this leaking from the cabinet said that recommendation, I don't think it's been accepted. I think the foreign minister was had an opposing views, but it's something which has been discussed in our government. Which measure with Israel will take also sovereign one if a friendly country take a measure which is not according to the norms that we expect them to take. And, for example, it was mentioned even demoting of the diplomatic relations, for example, not from the level of ambassador, to the level of consuls, etc., etc. I don't think we should need be there. I think if one wants to help both sides, the spectrum, we have to see what is realistic, what is the best way to help the sides to come to the negotiating table, because at the end of the day, the solution will be indirect negotiations. And to bring both sides, us and the Palestinian delegation, seeing Malta as a role as a member of the Security Council, Malta as a role as a member of the European Union, also as a chairman of the OEC, although the OEC is not covering the Middle East directly. They are observers from the Middle East. And I am trying to cherish the relations. I want to come to visit Malta because I know when you recognize, I will not be visiting you. And your ambassador will not be able to function. That's my reality. And from the first moment I started my mission, even before I was officially certified by your previous president, I said, let's try to do our best to try to be intact from the political development. Each side should do the best for the peace in the Middle East, but let's try to cherish the relations, bilateral relations, will not be negatively affected by unilateral step, either by us or either by you. That's the main message I carried in Slovenia. I said I was failing in Slovenia. I was more successful in Ireland when I was ambassador to Ireland in 2015-2018. Unfortunately, 3 years, I had to deal with the issue of the challenge of recognition of Palestinian state in Ireland. And Ireland was one of the members that did it now. Again, it's a sovereign decision, but, you know, there is also, you mentioned the people a few times, and I agree with you. I mean, in the end of the day, also when the government do not discuss with each other, I'm doing my best in my previous assignment also now to see that the contact people to people between us and the Palestinians will never be stopped. And I think I mentioned in one of our previous meetings, when I was DCM in the Netherlands, I initiated a special amendment in the Dutch Parliament against the Minister of International Cooperation to bring back the cooperation, assistance cooperation between Netherlands, Israel, and the Palestinians. It was of some 2 million euros. I came to the Palestinian mission in Ramallah, Dutch mission in Ramallah, with the Palestinian came, and we came. We got Dutch told the Palestinian delegation, you have here on the table 2 million euros for special courses for Palestinian trainees. The Palestinian partner said, thank you, Mr. Ambassador, but we cannot accept it. Arafat instructed us not to get any money. And the 2 million euros were kaput. So I do think, and I do understand the importance of having those kind of contacts, because in the end of the day, the war will be over. And then if we don't leave the channels open between the people, there will be nobody to have peace with in few months' time, few years' time. So I think we understand our responsibility, but also Malta, as a responsible member of the Security Council, has a responsibility, as I mentioned, vis-à-vis terrorism. I mean, you suffer as well from the Houthis. I didn't mention in the context of Iran, the Houthis are blocking the Bab el-Mandeb. The ships are not coming to Malta. You have also your economic damage. And I think you have a role, and I'm sure your government doing its best in all the international fora to see that rogue countries like Iran will be reprimanded. Reprimanded by sanctions, reprimanded by measures that they will not be able. If you follow the news today, you see President Putin speaking and signing a contract with North Korea, supported by the Chinese, and you see the alignment, unfortunately, in the international community between these two camps. I know where we are, and you know where you are. And I think we should always add a glance what is the way to get out of this, because we want to get out of this Catch-22. None of us, I mean, I don't want to see funerals in our side, I don't want to see funerals on the Palestinian side. And I'm not saying it just because, as a diplomat, I'm saying it's a human being, first of all. Because, as I said, when I wake up a few days after the 7th of October and saw on the Facebook that the daughter of my good friend of mine were massacred, butchered, she just, well, She didn't have to be in the party. She took her brother to the party at 6:30 when her mother called her. There was nobody on the line because she was shot in the head by the Hamas terrorist. Yes, also our soldiers made things which they should not make. And I think they should be punished according to our legislation, because Israel is a strong democracy, has also a very strong legal system. And I think we could cope with the culprits, as we did with the assassinator of Rabin, which is for life in jail, Yigal Amir. I'm not sure that this place will not solve the conflict, but as I said, my main message, how that we, UN parliamentarians, I'm as a diplomat, I see my role as a facilitator. At the end of the day, to bring that our relations will stay friendly in spite of what is happening on very rogue situation in the international community.
My colleagues wish to add anything? Thank you very much, Ambassador, for this overview. Obviously, we are always open door. I'm sure that my colleagues and myself made our position clear, and that we hope that the situation will resolve into stability and peace for the region. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, you send me whenever you can at least the clip or how do you call it, the recording of this? I give you my visit card.
Mela nirreferi għalla għannumru 27 senjetament id-data 13 ta' Mejju tas-sena kurrenti u għand il-minut u d-dimu etniħu jekk m'hawnx kummenti li il-Presidenti Kumitat qed jeddaw il-minuti bħala moqrija u jikkonfermhom. Grazzi. Etniħu il-laqġiċ xorta. Grazie.